I want to first thank our sound person up there. This is her first day, but you know, all this stuff is new. And so there's always technical glitches, but praise the Lord, she stuck with it and she finally got it. Come on. Right? Praise God. You know, I don't know about you, but this Christmas has been different. It's really different for us because it's the first morning we've gotten up in over 56 years and never had kids unwrapping presents under the tree. Some of you maybe have already experienced that, but this is our first year to do that. The second thing is, Christmas coming on Sunday just threw me all off. You know, I could not get it in my mind. I could not figure out what day this was during the week, because Christmas was coming not during the week like it's supposed to. It was coming on Sunday, and it kind of really messed me up. But this morning, we're going to talk about the call that interrupts. If you've been with us during the Advent season for the past 4 weeks, we saw instances of God sending angels to visit people and give them some news. If you open your Bibles, take out your Bibles. There should be one in front of you. If you didn't bring one with you, take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. And you know, the easiest way to do that is just to open your Bible to the middle, which should be Psalms, and then just page to the right until you get to Isaiah. That's the easiest way to find it. When you get to Isaiah, turn to chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7 this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Beginning of verse 6, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us." Now that was a prophecy. But you know what? That prophecy has been fulfilled. For now we can say, a child has been born to us. A child, a son, has been given to us. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and his prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Let us pray. Father, as we celebrate in remembrance the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, the beginning of what you had planned to provide salvation for us, Lord, we are so excited to understand what you did for us, that you came down, God Almighty, in the person of a baby, to be born of a human mother, to be cared for by a mother and father as you grew up. Lord, it just goes beyond our ability to imagine. And so sometimes I think, God, that's why you've told us, lean not on your own understanding. We're not to lean on what we can understand and what we know, but to lean on you, because your ways are greater than ours. Lord, we give thanks to you that we have hope now for eternal life with you. And this bitter world is not the end of all things, but the beginning is still to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, during the Advent season, and we forgot to light the candles, but that's okay. There's a lot of things we forgot to do this morning, but that's okay because it's Christmas morning, right? Praise God. But we saw instances of God sending his angels to visit people and give them some good news. So let's look back at these people for just a second, these people the angels appeared to. First, there was Zechariah. And you all remember Zechariah was born, he was married to Elizabeth, and they were old in age, and they had kind of almost given up hope on ever having a child. But God wanted someone to let the people know his son was coming, so he chose John the Baptist. Sometimes God's plans are not so straightforward. He often takes a roundabout way to get his message out. Sometimes we think we're going down a certain path, and God changes that for us. Here's the problem. You see, you and I can see a little bit into the future, not very far, but mostly we deal in the present. or the past. Some of us deal in the past all the time, and we deal in the present, but we can't see the future very much, but God does. God sees the big picture. God's big picture plan is to give Mary's cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah a son named John. He will become John the Baptist, the voice of the wilderness, calling people to repentance and heralding the coming of the Son of God. Now, we often think of the angel visiting Mary as the beginning of the Christmas story. But really, an angel who visited Zechariah 6 months before that is really the beginning of the Christmas story. Yet, in all those Christmas displays you've seen this past week or this past month, wherever you've seen them, there's some beautiful displays. Have you ever seen a statue of Zechariah? You know, we never see. Yet he was an important part of this Christmas story. That we never think about that. We don't think about the fact that that was the beginning of the Christmas story when Zechariah and Elizabeth, who had been trying to have children for years, now they are old, and the hope of them ever having children is kind of beyond their hope. But Zechariah is called to pray and give incense during in the temple, and he is living out what God created him to do. He was chosen pretty much by chance, we think, but God had already planned for him to be there. God had already planned for him to be in the temple when the angel came to him. Zechariah was serving God. He loved, even though that God had not provided them with children, even though they had not been provided with what every married couple back in that time really wanted was children. And I understand right now, for many years we celebrated Christmas with our kids, and as they grew up, and you know, Christmas Eve was always putting bikes together or something and not getting to bed till 1 or 2 in the morning, and the kids getting up at 3 wanting to open their presents. Kids kind of seem to be a part of Christmas, don't they? And when you don't have kids, you're kind of missing out on something. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were missing out. They hadn't had kids. But yet, Zechariah was faithful in his service and faithful in his prayers. And then, right there in the temple, Zechariah was in his quiet place. He was in prayer, doing what God had called him to do when he is called to a much longer, quieter time. I'm wondering, you know, most of you know that I played semi-pro baseball, and it seemed like always before the game started, especially if you were in a really big game, the butterflies would start, and there would be that period of time you just had to wait for things to calm down. I never played in a game as big as the World Series. But I wonder, you know, as those teams line up on the first baseline and the third baseline, and they introduce each player, and then they play the national anthem, and these guys are standing there, nervous, waiting, expecting what, not really understanding what's to come. How much goes through their heads at that few moments? How much goes through each player standing there? What's going on in their mind as they're beginning to play the biggest game of their lives? Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth are asked to live in that moment also. They're asked to live a 9-month-long pause from the get-ready to the go. What thoughts ran through their minds? What were they thinking about during that whole period of time? Then that faithful day comes when John the Baptist is born, and God was preparing their lives, preparing their hearts to do something wonderful. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells a story about a farmer who goes to sow seed. Some of it falls on rocks. Some of it falls on a path, and some of the seeds are eaten by birds. I think you all know the story, right? Let me give you a little different take on that, something to think about. What if we look at this parable from a different perspective? What if we look at the story as a story about preparation? What if Jesus is saying, if you have rocks in the field, move the rocks so that the seed has somewhere to land? What if the message is, make the soil ready? What if the parable is about, put a scarecrow out in the field so the birds won't get the seed? What if he is calling us to be prepared? I find it interesting that Zechariah's call is about preparation, and yet the first thing that God does is make him silent. Perhaps silence is the case, in this case, is the preparation. What happens when your cell phone or your computer freezes up, or it begins to do some weird things, and you get ready to throw it down on the floor and step on it and all those kind of things? What's the first thing, if you call IT, an IT person, what's the first thing he tells you to do? Turn it off and let it rest for a minute before you turn it back on. Thank you. Praise the Lord. That's pretty good timing, isn't it? You know, it's amazing how often that fixes the problem, isn't it? Just by turning it off for a minute, letting it be silent, and then turning it back on, it's amazing the thing comes back on. And it acts like it's supposed to. Yet Christmas time is the hardest time to be still. It's the hardest time to find silence. Maybe, just maybe, in the middle of all the hustle and bustle of the Christmas celebration, we need to take a moment and be silent. Prepare ourselves and be ready for the miracle. But you know what? I think that's hard to do. So let's practice for a minute. Let's just close your eyes right where you're at, and let's just be totally silent for a moment and ask God to speak to us as we're silent. Let's try it. Let's see if it works. You see, as we took that moment of silence, we were following the advice of the psalmist, what that said to us, be still and know that he is God. How often maybe would things be better for us if we were just still for a moment, allowing God to be God? But too often, I think what we try to do is we try to take over for God, and we try to do things, well, that we think maybe God isn't able to do. Have you ever done that? I've done that. God, let me give you some help. I'm not sure that you can handle this problem. I'll help you, God. I'll do as much as I can. And God's saying, just be still and know that I am God. Well, after Zechariah and Elizabeth, then comes Mary. There's really no way Mary had any idea what she was in for. Now think about who Mary is. Mary's a teenage girl. And all of a sudden, this angel comes to her with a astonishing announcement. What an amazing woman she was. If Mary knew, did Mary know this was the Messiah that would be the lamb to be sacrificed? Did she know the prophecy? Did mothers in that time tell their daughters, be a good girl, and maybe God will choose you to be the mother of Jesus? How much did she know about what was going to happen to her? You know, sometimes we just need to stop and think. Here's this young girl, and God is coming to her to tell her she's going to be the mother of God. Can you imagine that? I'm going to be the father of God. Mary's going to be the mother of God. I think that just goes beyond our ability to imagine that. If you are an organ donor, and you get into an accident, someone needs a heart, It's someone's job to make sure that heart gets into the cooler and taken to the hospital. Massive amounts of things have to happen right away for that heart to be salvaged and given to someone else. Someone has to make sure the heart gets there. What a job that would be. The Bible says we all need a spiritual heart transplant. Jesus was the one who would provide a way to take care of our broken hearts. Mary's job was to take care of Jesus from inception, though through childhood and adolescence until he was a grown man. Can you imagine what she must have felt as she contemplated, I'm going to be the mother of God? When called, Mary does not hesitate, though. Even this young girl, even in this shocking announcement by this angel, even then she does not hesitate. Even though she has no idea of what's going to happen, she has no way of understanding all that's going to be involved in raising Jesus. She simply says, I am the Lord's servant. In other words, in the words of Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. What a lesson that is for you and I. Notice when the angel comes to Mary, the message doesn't say, if you do this, Mary, I will bless you. Notice that? What does it say? It says, you have already been blessed. Do this. What if we could look at every opportunity to serve God, to make a sacrifice for God, as confirmation that we have been blessed already? I am here, Lord, send me. I am your servant, Lord, because I have been so blessed by you. Would that change maybe the way we serve the Lord? Mary was called to provide. She was to provide for God in the flesh, and when he had made himself a helpless baby, she was going to be his mother to take care of him. She provided a place for him to grow. She provided transportation when he could not walk. She carried God in her arms. Can you imagine that? And then there's Joseph. For Joseph, the call was an interruption. He had his life planned out. He was a carpenter, you know, and he was good at it. You know, measure twice and cut once. I should have learned that a long time ago, because I cut twice and it's still too short. But Joseph was different. Joseph was a planner, and he knew the plan. His plan was get married, have children, live a life that is honorable. He had it all planned out. Many of us always have plans, don't we? We have plans for the future. We know what we're going to do, but sometimes they're not God's plans. Joseph had found a godly woman to be his wife, and the plan was going, well, just as he thought he had planned it. Have you ever noticed that the call that comes at 7 a.m. is louder than the one that comes in the middle of the afternoon? It's a hard ring, isn't it? Someone got bad news and had to tell you, but decided not to wake you up, so they waited until first thing. You hear the ring, and your first thought is, oh, no. Right? That first call in the morning, you just know something has happened. Joseph's life got interrupted. And his response at first was, oh, no. There's a great axiom that goes like this. Life is what happens when you are busy making other plans. Think about that for just a second. I know it'll sink in a minute. Life is what happens when you are busy making other plans. Things don't always go as planned, do they? For Joseph, they weren't going as planned. Joseph received a call to live a life, a different life than the one he had planned. This would not be the life of a quiet carpenter. This would not be the life of just taking orders, building what was ordered, and giving it to the people, and being happy about life. You have your wife, you have your kids. things were going to change for Joseph. This would be a life of protecting a woman who is highly favored by God and protecting the Son of God. That is a tall order. You know, Joseph has now gone from marrying this teenage girl that he loves very much to marrying a girl who has been blessed by God. Does that change things a little bit? You see, God had given him a tall order. This is not just a change of God. This is a calling to run from a crazy king, accept gifts from strangers, try to explain why your son is different than all the other kids. We never think about that, do we? But as Jesus is growing up, he's obviously different than other kids. And Mary and Joseph were at times would probably have to try to explain. How do you explain to other parents and other kids, well, Jesus is not really like your kids because he's God. Try explaining that to other kids. This was not part of Joseph's plan, but it was a part of God's plan all along. You see, when God calls us to change our plans, He's actually just asking us to join him in his plan. Will that change the way we think? If we just understand the changes that go on in our life, what that God is calling us to do is not to change our plan, it's just to join God in doing his plan. What a joy that is to understand. We're just doing what God wants us to do. The call interrupts Joseph. He's called to protect. The call changes everything. And finally we have the shepherds. Now, I don't know about you, but I want the shepherds to have names. Maybe that's just my quirky self, but somewhere along the way, someone has named the wise men. They've come up with names for the wise men, even though they aren't named in the scriptures. But I want the shepherds to have names. You know, maybe Bert and Ernie, or Andy and Barney, or Jake and Elwood. Something we could identify with these shepherds and say, well, there's Elwood, the shepherd. There's Jake, the shepherd. Wouldn't that be nice to be able to give names to the shepherds? But you know, they come and they go, and that's the last we hear of them. We don't have any personal connection with them. When the scriptures were written a long time ago during this time, people had no concept of a round earth. They still thought the earth was flat. And an infinite solar system riding on the outer spiral arm of the galaxy called the Milky Way, they had no idea what those were. God was up. God came down to earth. Elijah was taken up to God. God was elsewhere. We were here and God was there, wherever there was. The call of Christmas that the shepherds experienced was not bringing God to us. We kind of think of it that God came down to us, but it wasn't really bringing God to us. Calling meant connecting with the God who already was here, waking up the presence that already existed. See, God was always here. Maybe a better term instead of the calling would be the pushing or the pulling. God is with us, moving us forward. God is in front of us, bringing us to him. Think about that. That's what God with us means. I love the image in the video of the shepherds running and the light chasing them. One is afraid, but the other is laughing. Isn't that the way we respond to the calling? We are either afraid or something sparks in us and we are filled with an overwhelming joy that God even thought of us. Have you ever felt that? What a joy it is to know that God is calling you. God wants you to be part of his plan. Life and the opportunity to respond to God's calling in his plan is like a roller coaster. The joy, the fear, the excitement, You can see all these things in the Christmas story. While they were called to go and tell, and keep in mind, this was not a call to change their vocation. More than likely, the shepherds went back to shepherding after they saw the baby and shared it with others. The calling was a gift. Go see the baby. But the gift was not a one-time thing. It was a life-changing event. This Christmas, as we remember, God came down to this earth as a child to be with us, to begin God's plan for salvation, is a joy for us. And we are part of it. We are part of God's plans. We know these stories. We heard them again and again. Every year that kid with a blue blanket comes on TV and tells us the story, "Unto us is born this day." The scripture says, "This day, the angel that came to the shepherd said, it's now. It's happened. It's no longer about preparation. This is a happening now. Go." We would do well to contemplate how God is calling each of us this Christmas. Maybe He's calling you to get prepared. Maybe you need to learn to be silent. We spend so much talking, texting, posting, proclaiming, walking into each other while we're texting. Maybe as we experience this last week of the year, maybe you're just being called to be quiet. Maybe He's calling you to provide. Jesus, the grown man, not the baby, would say, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me." Maybe this Christmas God is calling you to start a life of giving rather than receiving. We kind of started that last night at our candlelight service. We had the kids bring presents. They're still up here under the tree. They were supposed to be presents that meant really something to them, and they were to wrap them up and put them under the tree as a gift to Jesus so they could experience what it means to give. And one little boy said, "What I put under the tree was very special to me. I've had it for a long time." But he was willing to give and understand what giving was like. Could Jesus be longing to hear from you? Could He be longing to hear these words for you? "I am the Lord's servant." This Christmas, as we get through all the Christmas rush and we do what we have to do and we have our parties and everything, could God just be saying to you, "Are you ready to serve?" And your answer would be, "I am the Lord's servant." And then watching you follow through by providing food for the hungry, clothes for the needy, a home for the orphan, or simply a cold cup of water to someone in His name. Maybe He's calling you to protect. You know, let's be honest. God doesn't need us for anything. God doesn't need us for anything. So if you're asking what he would want me to protect, then you're missing the point. Maybe God wants you to help protect those who cannot protect themselves, to risk your livelihood for those who have no life. Maybe God's calling you to protect yourself from an abusive lifestyle or relationship. Maybe God's calling you to help protect His good name by being His hands and feet in the broken world. No matter what He may be calling you to protect, I'm pretty sure it will upset your plans. But good news, He loves you enough. He believes in you enough to ask you to let go of your plans and join in His plans. Maybe God is calling you to praise Him, not to just sing another song, not to just attend church. Maybe God is calling you to really praise Him by taking steps of faith that show your respect and gratitude for our Lord. Yep. Calling is an interruption. Calling is about changing our lives in scary ways. But calling is always accompanied by joys and tears and passion and a sense of living with purpose. What is your purpose this holiday? Better yet, what is your call this Christmas? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we've had to share your word and to share a calling with you, Lord, that a call that interrupts, Lord, that may be not what our plans were, but maybe today you're calling us to join you in your plans. What a joy that would be, Lord, to just know that we are part of the plans that you have for this world. We thank you, Jesus, for coming. We thank you for your birth, and we look forward to the day, Lord, that you die on the cross to save us from our sins, because the beginning and the end, one has to take place to provide for the other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.